Thank you. How he was in the mud, in the salt dripping blood of the Lamb. How your garments smell as holy white as snow. How he was in the blood of the Lamb.
How you walking
face,
in the
mud
to see good sight. How you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you rest each woman in the crucified? How you washed
in the blood of the Lamb.
How you washed in the blood.
In the soul creeping blood of the Lamb. For me in glory.
Okay. Do you want to do any of those a cappella or no? It's okay. Okay. Hold on a second. That's just 3-4 times, so. Do you want to try that again? Yeah, we have to get. I'll just. Get. Okay, so we want to do the last chorus and into the hallelujah. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
By the grace of God alone, we can stand and testify. Through the blood of Christ the Son, we have received eternal.
When you first said this, I thought it was going to be still. verses do you want to do? Okay, and then we go up a step to four. Do you want to make a copy of this, Mark? God be praised. No, no. I just fixed it so you know. Did you get all those parts?
Oh, yeah, the handwritten.
Okay.
They're in the same ones you have, right?
Yeah, I just found
the same
it.
One.
I found it in the key of F.
Oh.
See, and then just cut tried to make a copy of this, but it wouldn't go through. So I need to scan it.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. Anyway, let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the rain that's falling. Father, it was kind of a crazy night and a lot of heavy rain. And Father, but obviously we need it. And Father, we just pray that you would just be with those of our family that's not here this morning. Father, I know there's a lot of people out sick. Father, there's others out just having a good time in your creation, Father. We just pray that wherever they are, Father, that they know that they're loved and they're missed from us here, but also, Father, that you're interceding on their behalf wherever they're at, Father. You're relating to them. You're in their midst as well as here. Mm-hmm. And, Father, for those that are sick, we have quite a few of our family members this morning that aren't doing well at all. And Father, we just lift them up to you this morning.
Yes, God.
Father, we just pray your healing hand upon them this morning. Yes, Father, may they just feel your healing power just flow from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet.
Yes, God.
Right now,
amen.
In this moment. Always thank you for, excuse me, everything you do in our lives. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand and worship this morning.
A lot of words into a little space. You ready?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood? In the blood,
in the soul cleansing
blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood? In the
blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be wet?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood,
in the
soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Lay aside the garments that are stained.
Thank you. That's a story of yours as well. But my brother used to sing that just at the top of his voice. He was probably 5 or 6 at the time. And he would sing, "He punched me to victory." I was like, what a 5-year-old boy version of that truth. Yeah. Yeah.
My life. We thank you that when you walk past those doors, you didn't open to see who was inside. You just checked for the blood. Because your blood, your perfect blood, is our atonement. There are people in this room, people in our body, people in this city, this state, this nation, and this globe. God, there is so much pain and challenges that are huge, losses that are devastating. If ever there was a time to know with confidence who you are and who we are in you, today is that day. Teach us to know your ways. Teach us to number our days. Thank you, God. Amen.
Be still my
this place today, of your constancy, of your faithfulness, of your victory, your victory over the grave. So much talk of that in these days. So many of us have been touched and have experienced the loss that the grave attempts. But God, we have a hope. We know that we will see you. We know that we will be with you if we are your children. God, let us be bold in telling those around us that they can be with you, that you want them to be with you. Let us be bold in our testifying. By the grace of God alone, I stand here in this place.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
By the grace of God alone.
Yes,
Lord. Jesus, we thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Come on. Am I unmuted? Am I good? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Another beautiful day in Alaska. Devonna woke me up this morning at 5 o'clock. There's something outside. I never did find out what it was. I'm not saying she's hearing things, but I'm saying she's good at that. She can hear things dogs can't hear. So I'm constantly chasing the mysterious noise. Is that just me or any other husbands get woke up to chase the... I'm the only one? Brian? Okay, I guess this is us. Must be because we're married to Sager women, I guess. But anyway, I turned on the back light to the lights of the backyard, and it's just sheet ringing. I'm like, wow, did I transport to Oregon or something? I mean, it's like, you usually see the rain like that. But we've needed it. But I hear some people are tired of the rain, right? Well, it's kind of hard to work in the rain when you're saturated ground and trying to move equipment and. Yeah, I remember those days. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm so glad. Did you guys have a good week? Anybody go to the fair this week? Did you have fun? You didn't go? You went? Yes or no? Okay. I had yes and no's. Lots of cotton candy, right? Mom and dad let you eat cotton candy and hot dogs and spend four times what it's worth. Right? That always cracks me up. Walk around the fair and go, I know I'm getting ripped off, but I don't care. I like eating this pork chop for $5 when it costs me, 10 cents at the store. Yeah. And I'm really mad this year because the corn on the cob booth is not there, and I can't buy my $3 in-ear corn, Anyway, it just cracks me up. It's like, throw logic right out the window when we go to the fair. I don't know why it is. We're penny pinchers until we go to the fair, and I was like, okay, I'll buy that. Yeah. But no, it's a good time. So I think tomorrow's the last day, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, I think people had a good time. I think small businesses have probably really enjoyed the fair this year. They've had some pretty good weather and all that. So it's good for those people for sure. So we are in Philippians chapter 2, and we're kind of picking up where Pastor Mike talked about like 2-3 weeks ago. He started in chapter 2. And so we're just going to kind of continue on this morning. And it's just been a really, as I've just been going through this week, there's a phrase in here that we're not gonna spend a lot of time on, but it's a phrase that gets put out a lot in churches, and it's a true phrase, but people really wrestle with the meaning of it. And I'm not gonna get too deep theologically with it this morning, but we'll get there. But it's been really interesting. It's just a personal thing between Father and I as I've wrestled through some of these things this week and thought about the continuation of where I am. It's kind of interesting that what I talked about last week back in Philippians chapter 1 kind of dovetails pretty beautifully into where we're going this morning. You know, it's in the next chapter. But we're going to start going back a little bit to where Pastor Mike left off because I love to read things in context. And so when we see the word there in verse 4 or in verse 12, it says therefore. It's like, what is the, that's an old phrase, it's not mine. What is the therefore? Right, so you need to go back and see what came before it. So we're going to go back a couple verses to Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. And it says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth,
and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So I love this, you know, going back to verse 9. So we know there's going to be a day that I love that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that the name of Jesus was a simple name. Not the name of Yahweh, or not the name of, not Yahweh, Yahweh, yes. Not the name of Buddha, not the name of Allah, not the name of any other gods and religions that these people follow, but the name of the simple name of Jesus. I mean, it's a simple name. It's not long. But the power of the name of Jesus, at some point, every knee is going to bow and every lip is going to confess that he is Lord. And for a lot of people, it's going to be too late. They're going to make that acknowledgement. It doesn't matter because they didn't have a relationship with him, but someday they're going to acknowledge who he is. And I don't know what that, I can't even imagine what that is like, going to be like for them. I have a hard time wrestling with the moments that I disappoint my Savior, and those moments that I mess up, those moments that I like, man, I really messed up what you've called me to do, or what in this moment, or I've misspoke, or I've done things that, against what your word teaches me, and it kills my soul. I can't even imagine what it'd be like when you know you had an opportunity, and you denied it. But we go on what we're looking at this morning. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As I read this phrase, it made me remember when my kids were little, right? Don't just obey when I'm around, right? Obey when I'm not here. Do the right thing when I'm not standing over here going, hey, watch out for that. Hey, don't, no, I can't give you any illustrations because the one's not coming to me, and that's probably a good thing. Right, but my kids did a lot of things that they shouldn't be doing. And as a parent, I was constantly on them when they were with me. But it's like, God's like, look, be obedient when I'm not here. I mean, God, we always know that God's always over us and watching. He's always here with us. But do the right thing when we're not in an assembly like this. Right, because I think a lot of times when we come to church, we put on the church face. Right? And as much as we try to be family, we try to be honest, we try to be transparent, it's still tough to come in a big group of people like we are this morning and be that transparent. Even though we talk about, man, we're a safe place and we want to do all these things, but it's still hard to come and be that way, right? But this place of obedience. Are we obedient in those moments when it's just us by ourselves? Are we being obedient to what Father is asking of us? Are we being obedient to his word? And as I was thinking that in light of this phrase, this work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that kind of messes a lot of people up. They're like, oh, it's about my works? No, it's not about our works. But I think there's a lot of times when we, depending on different denominations that you've been in, whatever, and some people are just like, they get in this place of, well, I got my ticket, now I can go do whatever I want. No, you can't. If that's your attitude, there's something drastically wrong with your heart. If you claim to be a child of God and I see no fruit of it in your life, my job as your brother is to say, hey, let's have a conversation. Because there's nothing about your life that is reflecting who God is. And I would hope that, I've talked about this many, many, many times, we should all have these people in our life that help reflect that back and fine-tune us every single day. That iron sharpens iron idea, this, are we being obedient in that place? So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We shouldn't just walk through this life like, oh, I got my ticket, I'm going home someday, I can do whatever I want. Man, how is my life lining up with the Word of God? And this whole idea of this, work out your, you know, I know it's not about works, and you guys know this, but I just want to read it here in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, this kind of gives us that, this concept here. It's not about us working it out. It's about God. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. Is it a gift? It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So Ephesians is very clear. It's not about, so this working out is not about, I've got to attain this level, I've got to be perfect, I've got to be in this place. No, it's about understanding that I have this grace that's been placed on my life. So those days that I mess up and those days that, like, man, I feel like a real scumbag because I screwed it up again. And Father's like, "Son, yeah, you messed it up again, but how do we continue to renew your mind? How do we continue to change your heart? How do we continue to make your heart like my heart?" So it's this really interesting conversation that we get to have this opportunity. And again, it's not ever from this place of flippancy. It's this place of fear and trembling. Like, I am in the presence of a holy, righteous God. That should cause some fear and trembling. As much as I love the relationship that I have with my Father, if I ever get to that place where it's just like, whatever. No, there should be some fear and trembling and understanding that I come into the presence of the holy God. That he sees everything that I do. When Scripture says I'm going to be held accountable for every word that I've uttered, I don't know what to do with that sometimes, right? That causes me some fear and trembling because I know some of the words that have come out of this mouth. I know some of the thoughts that have gone through his brain that never made it out through my lips, but he still knows those too. So my focus is this place of obedience. Verse 14. Or we're still in 13. And here's the whole crux for me, that what we're looking at this morning. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." I love that verse. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Let's think about that. You know, again, I've talked about this through other scriptures and just this whole idea that it's Father's working in us and it's our obedience to his working that changes us. He does all the hard work. We just get to come alongside and go, "Man, you've told me the easy way to do this. And when I'm obedient and do the easy way, life's pretty easy." But those of us that are parents have told our children how to do it the easy way, and they've always done it that way, right? They've never done it the hard way. I mean, my children didn't. They always did exactly, "Hey, do it that way." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, it's good, Dad. I'll do that because it's easy." Not so much. Emily, most of the time. Boys are a little more, "I want to try this." Okay, you can. I don't know if other fathers are like me. I tend to go, "Yeah, go try that." And like, Dawn's like, "No, don't let them climb the tree when they're 4 years old." It's like, how far can they possibly fall? Right? You know, they'll learn. Or touch the hot stove, right? They only do that once. Most of them. Well, I know, but that's the difference between, that's why you need a mom and a dad, right? We're risk takers, and moms are like, "No, don't do that." Right? It's just this, I know, I'm getting off on a thing. I get it. Right, but it's still this thing with God, because he does the same things with us. He gives us all his commands in his word. And he's like, "Look, daughter, son, look, here's the way to live. a life that is connected to me, a life that you're going to go through life because life is life and we're in a fallen world. But when you follow me and you go through the commands and you live the life I've put so clearly down in my word, your life's going to be a lot easier. And I don't know why it is that we get to this place where we think we got it figured out better than our Creator does. Maybe that's just me. Because I know there's been days like, I know, Father, I know that's what your word says, but I want to try it this way. And he's like, okay. Come back to me when you find out that's not the best way. Right? But when I get in this place of understanding that it's God who's working in me, and I'm really focused on what is your will for my life, Father? And what is the work that you have for me to do? Whatever it is, and I know it's like it's easy on a Sunday morning. It's like, well, it's your job to stay up there and preach every Sunday morning. This is such a small part of what I do. Yes, I love this, and it's an important part of what I do, but it's all the other time is connecting with all of you, and it's connecting with people out in the world. What is that in that moment? What's the will in that moment? What's the work for me to do in that moment? And every single day, we should be on our faces about, Father, what do you want? What do you have for me to do today? And yes, we have jobs and we have plans and those things are great, but in the moment, even with all those things, check in with Father and see if that's what he wants to do in and through your life today. Because I guarantee if you ask that question a lot of time, he messes up your day. And the next verse is really good because when he messes up your day, I don't know if we all do this, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. Oh, I don't know if that's just me, but I sometimes have a problem with that, especially when he messes up my routine. I tend to grumble a little bit. Don't ask Devon because she'll tell you more. But I'm saying I tend to whine and cry and complain about how things aren't going my way. Right? And then after I submit to the new process, it's always an amazing thing that I feel really stupid for grumping about it. Right? Because it wasn't my plan for the day. It wasn't my plan for the moment. But I love how here Paul's like, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Man, if we as the church could do this, if we could do all things without grumbling or questioning. And I'm talking about the questioning, not questioning God's word. I'm not talking about questioning things that violate his word. Question that. Question, you know, I haven't said this in a while, but every time I get up here and I speak, not necessarily question what I'm saying, but check, fact check what I'm saying. As what I said this morning when you go home and you're thinking about it, even now as you hear this, as I'm going through Philippians, does it line up with who Father is? And if it doesn't, you better be coming and having a conversation with me. Saying, hey, I don't know if you handled that right. I want that. I welcome that. Because I want to rightly handle Father's word. But when we do all these things and we're locked into this place, this understanding that is God working in us for his will and to work his good pleasure, man, that there shouldn't be any grumbling and questioning to that. Why? And I love how it just clearly states that we may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Man, think about how long ago this was written. People have not changed. It's interesting talking to young people in this generation. They think they're so edgy. They think they're writing a new chapter in a new book. It's like, no, you're not. The verbiage might be a little different, but the issues are the same. They're fighting the man. They're fighting the whatever. They're fighting the status quo. They're fighting whatever it is. And sometimes it's easy not to get wrapped up that and fight them about it, but it's like they're going to have to figure that out. I'm not saying have those conversations and have those conversations when you need to and give wisdom where you can when they're in that rare moment to listen. But I was thinking about that event again this morning as I was thinking about this. It's like this hasn't been any different since the fall. People are people are people are people. When Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, he was absolutely right. There's nothing new. It's gotten a little more modern. It looks a little different in how things are done, but it's still the same heart attitude. It's still the same heart attitude when we think about, you know, the church at large, and we think about the grumbling and the griping and all those kinds of things. We see that all through churches today. What are they grumbling and griping about? What are they fighting about? What are they? Are they being played? Are they in this place where they're blameless, innocent, without blemish? Does the world look at the church and go, man, there's something different about how you live your life? I don't agree. I don't believe in your God. I don't agree with anything you're saying, but there's nothing I can fault you for. But when the world can look at the church and at large and go, what's the difference? What's the difference? Why should I give up all my vices when your life doesn't look any different than mine? I see your life falling apart, and you turn to all the things I turn to when my life's falling apart. You talk about this God, but where's the power? What's the purpose? What's the positive piece of it? And we should be living in this place where we have something different to show them. And like it says here, in whom you shine as lights in the world. Shining as lights in the world. And again, we throw that term around. It's you know, and it's true. But does it mean anything? Does it mean anything to be a light in this generation which we have been born into? We have been set into this place here in this moment to live out our lives. And if we're a child of God this morning, are we a light in our generation, or are we not? And here in Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are we shining out or are we hiding? Do we reflect the light of God first just in each other's lives? Because you'll find out really quickly where someone's heart is when you start shining the light of God's word into their life. They have to respond to the light. They're either going to embrace it and go, man, thank you for showing that piece I can't see because my eyes have been darkened because of where my headspace has been. They can welcome that and let that light burn out that thing in their life. They can deflect and go, well, yeah, but you, right? Or they can just totally deny it altogether and say, that's not true about my life. But even outside of that, that's just for us here that understand who God is in this relationship. We have this relationship with him. Well, what about a world who needs that light shown into their dark world that they have no idea who Jesus is? That's a weird thing to say in America. I mean, do people really know who the real Jesus is? Or is it just a swear word for them? Is his bride proudly proclaiming who he is? Are they holding fast to the word of life? So that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. In this moment, are we holding fast to the word of life? Are we holding fast to the word of life? Are we holding fast to all the other garbage that comes against us? Are we believing the newest fad out there? Are we believing some people that are deviating from the words in this book? Because if we're buying into that, we need to do some fact checking of where we're at. Are we holding fast to the words of life regardless of the culture, regardless of what people are saying? That's so antiquated. Or that's your truth. Oh man, how many times have I heard that? Truth is relative. That's your truth. This is my truth. We can all have different truths. Oh, jeez. That's terrifying. I mean, at the end of the day, I know I'm an old guy, but that's a terrifying place to live. If there's no absolute truth, what a terrifying place to live. No wonder our young people are messed up if they don't believe that there's any kind of absolute truth. That we have a Savior who has the words of life. And I love that when Jesus asked that of his disciples. And their response, where else would we go? Where else would we go? You have the words of life. And I see so often today that there's so many other things that are pulling on the church. They're chasing everything but the words of life. And I love the bride, you know I do, but I'm just like, I just see it too often. We're being swayed away. Holding fast to the word of life so that the day of Christ I may be poured out. I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Again, this community of rejoicing together and challenging each other and discipling one another and being glad in this place of being poured out like a drink offering. Why? It keeps going back to this thing because it is God who is working in us both the will and the work for his good pleasure. We don't like to think about, I don't know for how much time or if you've even ever thought about this idea of being poured out like a drink offering. Do you want to live your life where it's just at ease? And don't get me wrong, I like being at ease too, but at the end of the day, do I want to have lots of reserve left in the tank, or do I want to be exhausted and just, you know, when I draw my final breath, I've given everything I possibly have been called to give with my life? Man, we should be, that should be our heart cry to be, man, I want to be poured out. And I don't even know what that all even looks like, to be honest with you. But I know that's how I want to live my life. I want to live as a light. I want to live as this offering being poured out and in this place of like, man, God, I want you to do in me what you want to do. I want to fulfill your will and your work for your good pleasure in my life. Man. There's something to chase. The will and the work of God's good pleasure in our lives. How bright of a light do you want to be? I mean, they're changing light bulbs all the time now. The different, now we got LEDs and I don't know what they're going to come out next. And they get brighter and brighter. Changed them out in my house not too long ago in our kitchen and put the strongest, brightest LEDs I could, and it was a little different. They're like, oh, God's coming back. You know, turn on. I was like, you know, seeing shadows inside your house. It's a little strong, right? But what's interesting, as I was thinking about that, I was in the kitchen last night and I turned those same lights on and I've gotten used to the light. It's not as bright. It hasn't changed. How I see it has changed. Our light shouldn't get dim. How we live out this life, this pouring out, this chase of who God is in our life, his working out as we walk in this light, and we're walking out, our salvation with fear and trembling. We're walking out. Father, how close to you can I get here? How much can I look like Jesus here? Because I haven't yet attained what he did while he was walking on this earth, and he said we could do that. I was talking with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago about that thought. And we were sitting there just sharing back and forth like, man. To love like he did, and people thronged, right? Because he loved on them. Did he big fluff? No, he did not. He gave him something to chew on. But he did it in a way that they were compelled to come and be hang out with him. People should be compelled to want to be around you, and they have no reason why they don't want that. I don't know why I'm drawn to you. Have you ever had that experience? It's happened to me a couple times, and like, I don't know why I'm talking to you. I'm like, I do. I don't say that, but I'm just saying, it's like, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity, because that's what happened. Right? It's God in us that draws people in, because when we're living this kind of life, it's attractive to people. They don't see it. In the world in which we live, they should. There's millions of believers on the planet today. I don't know that for a fact. I'm guessing there's got to be. We should be infecting our world more than anything else. But if we're just content with how things have always been, we're content with the brightness of our light. We're content with our level of being poured out. We're always going to get what we always got. You know how the saying goes. I don't want to get what I've always got. And like I said, I don't even have language for some of these things that Father is stirring in my mind right now. But even these few verses we looked at this morning. And I love it so clear and so plain. Because when I'm complaining and grumbling and questioning what Father says, man, that's a good indication that I'm not being poured out. That's a good indication I'm not in tune with how Father is working in my life to will and to work for His good pleasure. Not mine. For His. I pray that's your heart cry this morning. Father God, this morning I pray as we go from here even today, that your word speaks to our hearts on an individual as the kind of relationship that we have individually with you. That we understand it's you working. And you've given us such clear instructions of how to live this life. And the mandates on our life of who we are to be is so clear. There's no like, well, I don't know. No, God's like, man, you're to be a light. You're to be poured out as a drink offering. You're supposed to like line up and be obedient to the words that I've put down. Live your life to the point of exhaustion so when you draw your final breath, I'm going to give you a new body because you wore the other one out. Man, how awesome would that be? It's like reading Father, one of your saints, and they have had this Bible forever that's fallen apart and worn out because they've been reading it so much. May our lives look like that. May our Bibles look like that. May we settle for nothing else than that. Father, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to close this morning with communion. It's interesting, as I was looking through the different Gospels this morning, just where all the accounts are, and I usually read out 1 Corinthians, and it's interesting, all the Gospels have the account of the Lord's Supper in good detail. John's the only one that's kind of interesting. John, Gospel of John, has the event, but he's come from a different perspective and shows some other things that doesn't have the verbiage that the rest of the Gospels do. But essentially in Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read that this one this morning. And when the hour had come, starting verse 14, when the hour had come, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten said, saying, this cup is poured out for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. I'm so glad that we don't live under the old covenant or have to sacrifice animals. Jesus paid the price once for all. And that's what we remember this morning as we take communion. And understand that I don't know when the process of time that will happen, but at some point, we'll do this again. Where it won't be some preacher up here talking about it. It'll be Jesus himself saying, I'm not going to eat a drink of the vine until it's all done. I don't know if you guys ever think about those kinds of things. The Word of God says our minds can't even begin to imagine what's in store for us. Because what we do understand, what his sacrifice has been, our minds can't grasp that either. So this morning as you come and take the elements and go back to your seat, I just encourage you to think about that. The overwhelming reality that we get to live this amazing life, that our sins are forgiven, washed pure in one moment in time, and all we have to do is say, man, I accept that. It's a simple act for a lifetime of change. So let's think about that as you come forward this morning. Receive the elements.
Thank you.
mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Are we broken by his mercy when we think about this moment in time? Are we broken by his mercy when we think about every day that we live? That should break us. We should never get used to it. We should never take it for granted. Live in it, accept it, be filled with it, but don't take it for granted. I pray God's richest blessing on you this morning. Father God, once again, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the blood that has covered us all. From the fall to the day you come to get us, your mercy covers, your blood covers. Continue to give us the boldness to speak into a dark and dying world. The light, the life that you are.